The truth and the life, the move of God is on the way. Hallelujah. With everybody standing up, with your Bibles in your hands, I want you to repeat after me. Hallelujah. This is my Bible. I am what it says that I am. I can do what it says I can do. I am not only a hearer of the word, but a doer of the word. My life would never be the same after hearing the word of faith. And faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word. Let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 7. Glory to God. My Lord, glory to God. When you have it, say amen. It says, remember the days of old. Consider the years of many generations. Ask thy father, and he will show thee thy elders, and they will tell thee. You may be seated. A few months ago, I heard the Spirit of the Lord say to me, back in the day. During that time, Overseer and I had to meet with the American Church Insurance Group because we were trying to lower our church insurance premiums because they had escalated so high. So they came in, two of the representatives came in to interview us, and they both were ministers. And in the process of our interview, one of the ministers said to us, you know, back in the day, things were so different. Well, of course, when he said back in the day, I jumped because the Lord had just given me that statement back in the day. Maybe it was that morning or a couple of days before. So, of course, all I could say was, wow. So, in the meantime, he said he would send me this email that talked about back in the day. And it went like this. Close your eyes and go back before the internet or PC or the Mac, before semi-automatics and crack, before PlayStation, Sega, Super Nintendo, even before Atari, before cell phones, CDs, DVDs, voicemail and email. Go way back, way, way back. I'm talking about hide and seek at dusk. Red light, green light. Red Rover. Playing kickball and dodgeball under the first, no second, no third street light came on. Ring around the rosy. London Bridge, hot potato, hopscotch, jump rope. You it? Parents stood on the front porch and yelled or whistled for you to come home. No pagers or cell phones. Take one giant step, may I? Seeing shapes in the clouds, endless summer days and hot summer nights, no air conditioner. With the windows open, the sound of crickets, running through the sprinkler, cereal boxes with that great prize in the bottom, Cracker Jacks with the same thing. Ice pops with two sticks you could break and share with a friend. But wait, there's more. Watching Saturday morning cartoons, Tom and Jerry's serial adventures, Captain Midnight, Cisco Kid, The Lone Ranger, Boston Blackie, catching lightning bugs in a jar, Christmas morning, your first day of school, bedtime prayers and goodnight kisses, climbing trees and swinging as high as you could in those long swings to try and reach the sky. A million mosquitoes bites and sticky fingers jumping down the steps, jumping on the bed, pillow fights, running home from the Western movie you just saw until you were out of breath, laughing so hard that your stomach hurt, being tired from playing, work meant taking out the garbage, cutting the grass, washing the car, or doing the dishes. Your first crush, your first kiss. I mean the one that you kept your mouth closed and your eyes open. Raining days at school. And the smell of damp concrete and chalk erasers. Oh, I'm not finished yet. Kool-Aid was the drink of the summer. So was the swig from the hose. Giving your friends a ride on your handlebars of your bike. Attaching pieces of cardboard to your bike frame to rub against your spokes. Wearing your new shoes on the first day of school. Class field trips with soggy sandwiches. When nearly everyone's mom was at home when the kids got there from school. When a quarter seemed like a fair allowance and another quarter a miracle. It says, when any parent could discipline any kid or feed him or use him to carry groceries, and nobody, not even the kid, thought a thing of it. When your parents took you to the cafeteria and it was such a real treat. When being sent to the principal's office was nothing compared to the fate that awaited you at home. Basically, we were in fear for our lives, but it wasn't because of drive-by shootings, drugs, gangs, or etc. We simply did not want our parents to get mad at us. Didn't that feel good just to go back and say, yeah, I remember that. Well, let's keep going. Let's go back in to the time when decisions were made by going eeny, meeny, miny, mo. Mistakes were corrected by simply exclaiming, do it over. Race issues meant arguing about who ran the fastest. Catching fireflies could happily occupy an entire evening. It wasn't odd to have two or three best friends. The worst thing you could catch from the opposite sex was cooties. Nobody was prettier than mom. Scrapes and bruises were kissed by mom and made better. Getting a foot of snow was a dream come true. Abilities were discovered because of a double dog dare. Spinning around, getting dizzy, and falling down was cause for giggles. The worst embarrassment was being picked last for a team. Water balloons were the ultimate, ultimate weapons. If you remember most or all of these, then you have lived during a more simpler time. I wonder how many of you that have heard the way things were done back in the day remember all or some of these things. I know some of you are my vintage. Let me see, a few of you anyway. I might have 10 years on some of you, but you, some of you are in your 60s. So those of you who remember will have lived in an era that no one else will ever experience. The era has passed, and slowly those of us who lived in it are passing also. If you do not remember, then ask your parents, your grandparents, or great-grandparents. We went from AM radio stars, and your era is here. Be part of it. Make it worthwhile for future generations to build on. Keep God in your lives. Also, I go back to our scripture text, Deuteronomy 32 and 7. And it says, remember the days of old, consider the years of many generations. Ask thy father, and he will show thee, thy elders, they will tell thee. I would like to use for a topic back in the day, and as a subtopic, remember. Let's pray. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for your word. We thank you, God, for wisdom, revelation, revelatory knowledge. Lord, I decrease that you might increase. Lord, I pray for the anointing of the hearers. And Lord, I pray that you would anoint your vessel. In Jesus' name we pray. And let God's people say amen. 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 Remember. The word remember means to bring to mind or think of again. Remembers the old days. Now, the insurance man back in the day reflected on fun things or natural things. And my back in the day will reflect on spiritual things. I remember when we went to church every Sunday, starting with Sunday school, we had to commit to memory every Sunday, a memory verse from our Sunday school lesson. 75% of the time when we went to church on Sunday, we were prepared to spend the whole day. Our parents would bring their dinner to church, and all of the church families would eat together and fellowship until time for the afternoon service. After that service, we would have a little snack or some dessert, and we went back to the evening service. We sang a song today all day long. I've been with Jesus. Remember that song? All day long, I've been with him. But I wonder how many of us do we really have a clue what it means to be with Jesus all day long? Because in that day when they took us to Sunday school, and I guess that's why I learned to prepare my dinner on Saturdays, because that's what I saw my mother do. I never cooked on Sundays. I always prepared my Sunday meal on Saturday evenings, or if I did do it on Sundays, it was early in the morning. Sunday was just the beginning of the week. Back in the day, we went to church just about every night. Many times the children did their homework on the back pews and would fall asleep when it was done. Any of you remember that? There was no set time to get out of church. When the Holy Spirit was finished with the people, then the pastor would dismiss. It could have been 12 o'clock a.m., 1 o'clock a.m., or even later in the morning. Amazingly, the night's rest, what was left of it, the Lord would bless. I tell you, I remember the times we got out of church, 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock in the morning, and we go home and get up the next morning to go to school. But do you know those 3 hours of sleep felt like 8 hours of sleep because God blessed us. But today, we can't even allow our children to come to church today because they have to be in bed by 8:30 or 9 o'clock. But we went through all those hours, sleeping on the pew, doing our homework, but it did not kill us. It made us what we were today and what we are today. Back in the day when people wanted to be saved, they would come to the altar. And some churches call that altar the morning bench. And ask the Lord to save them, save them. And people said, save me, Jesus, 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 save me, Lord, save me, Lord, save me, Lord, save me, Lord. We didn't say confess with your mouth, believe in your heart. But yet that's what the Lord requires for us to do. But we just said, save me, Jesus. Save me, Jesus. Can you say, save me, Jesus? Can you say, save me, Jesus? Save me, Jesus. Save me, Jesus. And he would save us. Not only from our sins, but he saved us from danger. He watched over us. Many times we would have been killed, ran over by a car, or whatever could have come our way. But God saved us. He saved us. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. So we see back in the day, and they would say, and we would say it repeatedly. Back in the day, we tarried for the baptism of the Holy Ghost. We had to call on the name of Jesus until something happened. Do you remember that time? Can you go back when you received the baptism of the Holy Ghost? Can you recall that day or that moment? Was it precious? Was it glorious?
Yes.
Hallelujah. And all we did was call Jesus. And you know, we called Jesus until we couldn't call Jesus no more. We called Jesus until the slobber was coming out of your mouth. You called Jesus till the tears were rolling down. You called Jesus until after a while you couldn't say Jesus. And while you were trying to say Jesus, Jesus, your tongue began to change. You see, because what happens, you know, today we will say, you know, the Holy Ghost is a gift. He says if you ask him for the gift, he will give the gift to you. So all we have to do is ask him. But it doesn't hurt us to get down and tarry. You know why? Because sometimes we need a purging. We need a cleansing. We need a washing. And when you get down on your knees and you begin to call Jesus, 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 until the anointing come. And then all of a sudden, out of your belly will flow rivers of living waters. Yes, yes. Hallelujah. And if you go to 1 Corinthians, let's go to 1 Corinthians a minute. Chapter 14. The Lord just dropped that in my spirit. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 14. And chapter 14, verse 2, it says, for he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but to who?
God.
But unto God. For no one understandeth him, howbeit in the spirit he speaketh mysteries. Now, how many of you wouldn't want to speak mysteries to your God? Can you imagine speaking mysteries to God? And the only way we can do it is by speaking in tongues. Because, I mean, if we try to speak in our own language and call ourselves speaking mysteries, we might be making all kinds of boo-boos. But when we are speaking in tongues, we don't know what we are saying, but the Spirit is speaking mysteries unto God. So back in that day, we tarried for the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And what would happen, our tongue would get loose. And while we were trying to call on the name Jesus, something else will come out of our mouths. A language that we had no clue as to what we were saying. We knew then that we had received the promise that Jesus promised every believer. And that was the indwelling of the Holy Ghost, with the evidence of speaking in tongues and experiencing a dunamis dynamite power. And what was so ironic, those days when the power of God would be on you, some would laugh. Woo-hoo! Some would be laughing. Some would be rolling in the floor. That's why we were called holy rollers. The presence of God would be all over you. The presence of God would hit someone. They'll hit the floor and they'll roll this way. And they'll roll that way. And they'll roll back this way. And we were called holy rollers. But it was okay. We were rolling for Jesus. He was cleansing us. He was purging us. He was sanctifying us to the point that we had to continue our sanctification, because sanctification is not a one-time shot deal. It's a process. Every day we are being sanctified. Hallelujah. We call Jesus. Hallelujah. And we weren't ashamed to call him. And the old mothers would be over you. And we experienced it when Mother Brown was here doing the revival. That's what we experienced as children back in the day. And someone would say, call on him. Don't let him go. Don't let go. Don't let go. Sometimes, don't let go what? What do we mean, don't let go? Sometimes the people didn't know what they were talking about, but they would tell us to call on Jesus. There's power in his name. There's healing in his name. There's deliverance in his name. There's victory in his name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Back in the day. Back in the day. Now, The book of Deuteronomy is the last of the books of the law. What is called the Pentateuch. The Jews sometimes called it 5/5 of the law. The name Deuteronomy means spoken twice. Some have called it the second law, or more appropriately, the second rendering of the law. The entire book is a reminder of the truths of God. Deuteronomy does not offer to Israel or unto us new law, but it gives us a reminder of the established law of God that was given in the previous four books. Now, in my estimation, this verse is the key verse to the book. This verse commands Israel to do exactly what the entire book does, and that is remember. Remember. The only way you can reflect back in the day is that you have to remember. Deuteronomy is a book about remembrance. 16 times in Deuteronomy, the word remember or remembrance appears. These words are in the King James Bible around 320 times. Therefore, not only in Deuteronomy a book about remembrance, but the whole Bible is a book about remembrance. Much of the work of the scripture is to get us to remember and consider the word Selah. Did you ever see that word in the Psalms? Selah is used in the Psalms and Habakkuk some 74 times. And the purpose of it is to get one to pause and consider what was just said. God sends preachers to get us to remember. He sends events to get us to remember. He sends people into our lives to get us to pause, remember, and consider. He allows trials, pain, heartbreak, and difficulty in our lives, many times for the sole purpose of pressing us to pause, remember, and consider. However, I would like to bring to remembrance our scripture text, Deuteronomy 32:7. Remember the days of old, consider the years of many generations. Ask thy father, and he will show thee, thy elders, and they will tell thee. The youth have not seen all that thy elders have seen. You look at Hannah, you look at Samuel, you look at Miles, you look at Joshua, I look at Destiny, I look at John. They haven't seen an iota of what God can do. They have not seen the move of God. But guess what? As their parents, you've seen a little bit more than they've seen, but you guys are young, you haven't seen all of that either. When you go back in the day, Lord have mercy. We had the fire to heat us with a big old fat stove, a potbelly stove. And the saints would be in there praising God. They didn't have no organ. They didn't even have any drums. All they had was a washboard. Yeah. Hallelujah. Yeah. A washboard. And their voices that rang out to Jehovah. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. I can reflect. I can look back. I can see the day that we didn't even, just the washboard. That's how they made their music, the washboard. Now, some kids, man, don't even know what a washboard looked like. They don't know what a washboard looked like. But we can go back in the day. Those of us that can reflect back in the day, we are blessed. Because we lived through an era. We knew how to entertain ourselves. We knew how to have fun. Hallelujah. We exercised. Everything we did, we just took off running. My mother said, my God, twins, no wonder you're so skinny. Just learn to walk. Go to the corner store. Give me a loaf of bread. We'll take off running. I mean, see, Plon, I should have been in track back then. I would have made the Olympics because that's all I did do was run, run, run. We ran. We played. We jumped. And when you had that summer heat with no air conditioning, but just the fresh air coming in the window. But see, I'm glad it was back then because now I can't take it. And most of us ladies know what I'm talking about. That was back then. Sometimes people will remind you, my goodness, back in the day, you didn't even have air conditioning, but that was back in the day. We're in a new day. Aren't you glad about air conditioning? Oh, my Lord. Oh, my Lord. I tell you, when I was going through the change of life, I thought I was going to lose my mind. I said, Lord, what in the world is going on here? I feel like my head is in the oven. My chest is in the oven. I feel like I'm going to lose my mind. But see, some of you ladies didn't go through it. Wait, you know, we all don't go through it the same. There are some women that have never even had a hot flash. Isn't that amazing? Oh, my Lord. I thought I was going to lose my mind. Back in the day. My Lord, my Lord. So, we see that our youth do not know half, but it is our responsibility to tell them. That's what God told the children of Israel. You, when you sit down by the wayside, you teach them, you tell them about the things that had happened. Deuteronomy 5 and 15, the first point that I want to talk about is remember the land of Egypt. In this book of Deuteronomy, the children of Israel were commanded to remember the land of Egypt. Deuteronomy 5, 15, and remember that thou was a servant in the land of Egypt, and that the Lord thy God brought thee out thence through a mighty hand. And by a stretched out arm, therefore the Lord thy God commanded thee to keep the Sabbath day. Then Deuteronomy 15, 15, it says, and thou shalt remember that thou was a bondman in the land of Egypt, and the Lord thy God redeemed thee. Moses called to thy remembrance the suffering of slavery and the oppressive hand of Pharaoh. He reminded them how God rescued them with a mighty hand and with an outstretched arm. It serves as a reminder to the believer of a time when he too was enslaved and oppressed by sin, but the Lord sent deliverance. Aren't you glad about it? I mean, when he was reminding the children of Israel about Egypt, it was letting us know the type of Egypt we were in because it represented sin. We were in sin. Ephesians 2:11, verses 11 through 13, chapter 2, it says, wherefore, remember that ye, being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands. Verse 12, that at that time ye were without what? Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. Verse 13, but now in Christ, repeat after me, but now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were afar off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. Thank God for the blood. Thank God for the blood. Thank God for the blood. Number two, we must remember lost love. In Revelation, Jesus spoke to the church at Ephesus. Revelations 2, verses 4 through 5. It says, nevertheless, I have someone against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen, and repent and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly and will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. This world will distract you. Do you remember how you felt when God delivered you from Egypt back in the day? Do you remember how you just loved God so much that you could not get enough of God? You couldn't get enough of God. You couldn't get enough of church. You couldn't get enough of the Bible. But what has happened? Do you still hold that same love? Do you still have that same zeal? Remember your lost love and return to it. Number three, remember the loaves. In Matthew 14, Jesus feeds 5,000 men, plus women and children, with 5 loaves and 2 fishes. And he had 12 baskets of scraps to spare. Now in Matthew 15, he feeds 4,000 with 7 loaves and a few fishes and took 7 baskets of scraps. In Matthew 16, Jesus loads a ship with his apostles and tells them, be aware of the leaven of the Pharisees, the Sadducees, and of Herod. He spoke of the doctrine of these groups of men, but the apostles did not understand. They looked at one another, counted their loaves of bread, and they thought that Jesus was angry that they had not brought enough bread for them to eat. Jesus reminded them in Matthew 16, verses 9 through 10, do ye not yet understand? Neither remember the 5 loaves of the 5,000 and how many baskets ye took up, neither the 7 loaves of the 4,000 and how many baskets ye took up. He told them to remember the loaves. In Mark 6, chapter 6, verse 52, they were astonished and they doubted concerning the calming of the sea because they considered not the miracles of the loaves. If you have a need that seems to be big or it's a big situation that is out of control, remember the loaves. Remember the loaves. Nothing is too big for God. If he could he's in the multiplying business. All he needed was just the 5 and the 2. And because he had the 5 and the 2, he began to multiply. And as they sat down to eat, he kept multiplying. He's not in subtraction, but he's in multiplication. Yes. And number 4, he says, remember Lot's wife. These words of Christ are recorded in Luke 17, verse 32. It was a call to remember how sin took her attention from the things of God to the things of this world. Young people, do not allow the world to distract you. Not even young people, but the old people as well. Remember how sin ravaged her family. Remember how she journeyed up a mountain fleeing the wrath of God on Sodom and Gomorrah. Remember how she turned in disobedience, lust, and rebellion, longing for the days of their sinful pleasures in Sodom. And she was turned to a pillar of salt. Remember Lot's wife. Remember that sin does not pay. Number 5, remember Lazarus. Luke 16. Luke 16 tells us about the rich man. Lazarus died and was carried off to paradise. But the rich man died, was buried, and in hell he lifted his eyes in torment in the flame. He called for mercy to Abraham, but Abraham said, son, remember? Son, remember? See, in his day, the rich man's day, he fared sumptuously. The poor beggar would come past his house and said, can I just have the crumbs off your table? He ignored him. They said even the dogs came and licked up on his sores. But one day the rich man died, and one day Lazarus died. But Lazarus ended up in the bosom of Abraham. Yes. And Lazarus ended up in flames, tormented. Hell is real. The world will try to tell you hell is not real. They'll try to tell you your hell is right here when you're going through your struggles. Your hell is right here when you're going through your circumstances. But let me tell you, hell is real. You might be going through some hell, but that's not the ultimate hell. You don't want to go to hell, to the hell, where you're going to burn with flames and be tormented. Do you know? The rich man was burning so bad. He says, Father Abraham, please, would you come and would you allow Lazarus to put his hand in some cool water and come and cool my parching tongue? And Father Abraham said, no, I can't do it. Because where you are and where he is, there's a great gulf. And he can't get to you and you can't get to him. I tell you, when you die and you end up in hell, you're going to be there forever. And everything that you've heard, every time you had an opportunity to be witness to, and if you did not accept the gospel and accept Jesus' death and his burial and his resurrection, you will see it time and time again, over and over again, time and time again, over and over again. So Abraham says, I can't allow you. Then Lazarus says, but Father Abraham, I have five brothers. I don't want them to come to this torment. I don't want them to come to this place. Can you just send someone to warn them that not to come here, but to listen to the prophets? Know what Abraham said? Well, they got the prophets and they have the disciples and the apostles. He says, if I send one from the dead to tell them what's going on here, I doubt that they would believe it. You know why? Because they would take off running. If they knew somebody that was dead and came back to life and they were coming back to life to try to tell them something, they would take off running. He says, I doubt if they would hear them. So it's now. It's the time to make up your choice, to make your choice, and not to choose hell, because hell is real. So he says, son, remember? But Abraham said, son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thou good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. You may think you have a hard time remembering things here, but in hell, people never forget. Hell is a real place where real people go to burn in a real fire, and they are really there for eternity. The only escape is the forgiveness of God through the blood of Jesus Christ. If you reject this message today, and pass into eternity without God, you will remember it in hell forever. So as I reflect back and bring my message into a conclusion, the land of Egypt reminds us of God's deliverance from sin. The lost love reminds us that this world and its cares will distract us from serving God. The loaves remind us of the miraculous provision of our God. Lot's wife reminds us that sin has a price. It costs immensely, but it never pays. Lazarus and the rich man remind us that eternity awaits us all. Are you prepared to meet God? Every time we take communion, we are remembering what happened back in the day, over 2,000 years ago. According to Romans 5:8, but God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died. We remember today from back in the day when committing to memory our Sunday school memory verses, one being John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave what? His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Do you need to go back in the day to be reminded of what God has done for you over the years? The Lord wants us to remember that if he brought us through back in the day, he will bring us through today. If he did it once, he'll do it twice. Hallelujah. He's doing it again. He is doing it again, over and over and over again. He will bring us through today. He will bring us through tomorrow. Psalms 34:19 says, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers them out of what? Some of them or all of them. Back in the day, remember. But how will you respond? Back in the day, remember. How will you respond? I heard the song and I remember the song, take me back. Take me back, dear Lord, to the place where I first received you. Take me back. Take me back, dear Lord, where I first received. Oh, Lord, take me back. Hallelujah. Take me back, dear Lord, to the place where I first received. Everybody standing, take me back. Take me back, dear Lord, where I first believe. Oh, take me back. Take me back, dear Lord, to the place where I first received you. Take me back. Take me back, dear Lord, where I first believe. How many of you want to go back? How many of you want the Lord to take you back to that place? How many of you, no form, no fashion, but how many of you really want the Lord to take you back? Take you back to the day of the mourning bench. Take you back to the day you were at the altar and you were calling on Jesus. You were calling, save me, Lord. How many of you want to go back to that day? Maybe some of you have never been there, but you desire to go there. The altar is open. The altar is open. Lord, take me back. Lord, save me, Lord. Take me back. Back in the day. Back in the day. Take me where I first received you. Oh, Lord, take me back. Take me back, dear Lord, where I first. Those hands that I saw that were lifted up, that wanted to go back, if you would just step forward. Those of you that had their hands that I want the Lord to take me back, if you would just step forward to the altar. Where I first received you, oh dear Lord, take me back. Take me back, dear Lord, where I first receive. Oh Lord, take me back. Take me back, dear Lord, to the place where I first received you. Oh Lord, take me back.
Oh rondoro bohoshata.
Ika na 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 si alara bohoshata. Where I first received, take me back, Lord. Where I first received, hallelujah. Oh, glory God. Oh, take me back, take me back, take me back. Take me back to the place where I first received. Hallelujah. With every head bowed, every eye closed. I saw some other hands that said they wanted to go back, but they didn't come to the altar. Obedience is better than sacrifice. If you want to go back, if you want to go back, if you want to go back, if you want to go back. I know, I was thinking about memory. Yeah. And as I was studying memory, it.
Let us all pray as Sister Ingram prays for the various ones that are up here. Praise you, Jesus.